This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday podcast on the 21st of November, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com and stop by your local branch. C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson have the news today, including how FFA is starting an initiative to promote ag education in schools and Feeding America's efforts to fight the real hunger that children are dealing with. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin predicts winter-like conditions across Indiana today and tomorrow, and the grains were higher yesterday as soybeans again slipped. We'll have numbers and analysis with Tom Fritz on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
A brand new initiative to promote the benefits of an ag education and asking the ag community to come together to fight hunger. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, the Indiana FFA and the National FFA organization have teamed up to launch a brand new initiative to promote ag education in schools, as well as the career opportunities that are available in the ag industry.
So I think the biggest thing that this initiative is going to do is allow our students to see, first of all, what's in it for me. That's always their first question, is what am I going to get out of joining this?
And that's Cameron Frazier, ag educator and FFA advisor at South Putnam High School near Greencastle. The initiative is called Grow With Us, and the website is indiana.growwithus.ag. It features videos and information for students where they can learn more about the benefits of an ag education. But Frazier says the website isn't just for students.
Also, we always have parents questioning, what is my kid getting into? And now with this initiative, we're able to show them visually instead of just telling them what it's going to be about. And hopefully that will initiate maybe that little drive to talk to their kid and maybe like, hey, maybe you should join FFA and take an ag class.
He says that the ag classes that are offered in schools today are much different than the ag classes that were offered when your parents and grandparents were in school.
We pride ourselves at South Putnam in agri-science research. So every single one of our ag education students have to complete an agri-science research in one of the different areas. So we have some that complete it in ag technology. I had two eighth graders who decided to weld and see this different tensile strength of welds. We have students that research the different types of fish food that's going to work the best for them. So yeah, it is definitely not like it was 20, 30 years ago. We are really pushing innovation in agriculture. These students are all about what's going to innovate that next step of agriculture in the future.
Frazier adds that the goal of the initiative is to help prepare young leaders for careers in the ag industry, and that includes developing new technology for the next generation of America's farmers.
They may not be in production agriculture or agriculture. They're going to go out into these fields, and the fact that we can support them while they're high schoolers and we have that guidance through our ag teachers and FFA advisors, it is a phenomenal experience that they're going to get to have.
The Grow With Us initiative is supported by a grant from the Lilly Endowment. The website, once again, is indiana.growwithus.ag. You can also find that link at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. Well, you may have gone to bed last night with a belly full of food, but nearly 50 million Americans did not. Many of them are children. Sabrina Halverson recently spoke with the CEO of Feeding America, a nonprofit organization looking to address this problem.
The United States is facing its highest levels of food insecurity since the 2008-2009 economic downturn. That according to Claire Babineau-Fontenot, the CEO of Feeding America. She says that nearly 50 million Americans, including 14 million children, are experiencing hunger. Those statistics, she says, are a stark reminder of the growing crisis.
I saw us really rally as a nation when we had an awareness of what was happening during the pandemic. Unfortunately, those lines that we used to see, they've just gone back inside of buildings and people think they've gone away. So I'm confident when people find out that the issue still exists, that we'll step up again, and this time we're going to make sure we do the things that make those lines go down for good.
She encourages individuals to start locally by visiting feedingamerica.org, which provides tools to locate nearby food banks and offers opportunities to donate, advocate, or volunteer.
We have a food bank locator on that website. All you have to do is put in the zip code of the community you care the most about, and there is someone in the Feeding America network that's serving that community. You can talk to them. I always encourage people, start in your own backyard, so start there. And if you've got spare time and spare resources, please then invest in the national organization, and we make certain that wherever the needs are the greatest, that's where we go with our resources.
She also had a message for farmers.
When we are united, we can really make a big impact on hunger. We've got more to do, but thank you for what you've done already.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Mother Nature trying to show winter is coming. We had a significant change in our weather pattern here just within the past 2 days, as we've gone from well above normal temperatures and south winds to below normal temperatures and north winds. And in those north winds, we're seeing a decent amount of precipitation trying to get going here. Upper level low wants to park right on top of the Great Lakes and circulate around here, moving very slowly to the north and east over the 12 days. So what that is going to do is bring wintry moisture into our neck of the woods. I can't rule out rain showers or wet snow showers off and on through today and tomorrow. It definitely looks like today is probably the bigger threat, but I think late tomorrow night into early Saturday could be round two here. By far, the best area for snow is going to be near the Great Lakes, near Lake Michigan, northwest Indiana, north central Indiana, western parts of Michigan. But I think we're going to be seeing these strong north winds take clouds all through the state, and we are not going to rule out precipitation anywhere. I think liquid equivalent for your Thursday is going to be anywhere from a tenth to probably 4/10 of an inch. Rain mixing with wet snow. Snow accumulations in northwest Indiana could be as much as 1 to 3 inches. I think most of northern Indiana, if you see snow at all, coating to an inch or two, that is it. It's going to be very, very wet. But the winds are strong, and we see the strong winds go through tomorrow as well. No major thoughts in terms of changing this outlook into early Saturday. Now, as we move into the later part of the weekend, I do see temperatures moderating a little bit, especially Sunday. And next week, Monday, not too shabby either. What we're also seeing here is a little bit of change in next week's unsettled pattern. I still think we have some clouds around, but at this point, I'm taking moisture out, or at least backing off of the range of moisture for Tuesday. And I also think that we may be able to back out of moisture on Friday, pushing things back into next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's going to be flipping the calendar from November into December. I want to see another round of data before we really zero in and make those changes wholesale, but I do think that we're going to be able to put together a slightly drier outlook next week than what we were talking just a couple of days ago. Otherwise, just bundle up. It's going to be chilly here the next couple of days. Winds are going to be strong. And be aware of this wintry mix that we have to deal with in parts of the state. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn and wheat pick up a little ground while the bean market continues its sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, and I'll review the final numbers momentarily. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. At the end of trade, I checked in with Tom Fritz for that. Tom at EFG Group. Gains in the grain markets. Probably you'll be talking a little bit about the Black Sea area as we discuss the reason for the move higher, but let's start with soybeans. It's been a trend here, liquidation. Why again today?
Well, and I think the number one factor behind the lower soybeans today, despite the USDA announcing, 428,000 tons of beans sold, half of it to China, half of it to unknown. That didn't even give us a blink. I think the problem with the bean market right now is the liquidation that we're seeing in soybean oil. Soybean oil for the longest time had been your upside leader, and now it's correcting. And normally, you know, when you'd see soybean oil down hard, soybean meal would tend to firm, being the recipient of the intermarket spreading. But the meal market, it's having a hard time. It's really struggling here. But bean oil's down on Malaysia announcing a export duty, raised their export duty to 10%. So palm oil market was down noticeably overnight, so that weighs on soybean oil. Plus, I think if you look at the price action of late in soybean oil, you know, we made our highs last week. You corrected for a couple of days, and then you went into a sideways chop. And basically, the you know, the technicians will say, well, it's accepting this lower level. It's not rejecting it. So that would suggest there's additional downside. And so that's what we're seeing here. But, you know, if you're looking for, why, it's Malaysia instituting the additional export duty on its palm oil. So that and the weather in South America, it's not an issue. For the, you know, just freshly planted soybean crop, you know, what beans have been planted, you know, early development's pretty decent. Depending on, you know, the weather looking ahead, the 6 to 10 day, or I should say the noon updates, had a little bit of a drier bias, but that doesn't mean it's going to be tough, as it may not be as wet as what we've seen. So, and everybody sees these updated forecasts, and the market doesn't react. So I think, you know, if you're playing for a weather to develop to help the soybean market, it's not here yet. It's not here yet. So that and, you know, recall, that, you know, 470 million bushel carryout on beans. When have you ever seen a sustained rally with that kind of number? So I think, you know, that's the issue here. Is the soybean market going to fall apart on us? Not until we have a better handle on the Brazilian soybean crop, and that's January at the earliest. So, you know, maybe we're just in line for some chop 'em up, spit 'em out type trade here for the near term. Wheat market gets its support from the ongoing escalated tensions between Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine was given the permission to start using U.S.-made long-range missiles to get into interior Russia. And Russia responded, so, well, okay, now we're going to start using nuclear weapons. So it's kind of like, so far, it's just nervousness, you know, in case something may happen. But then again, overnight, the Kremlin, Trump has to say about bringing this all to an end. So, but, you know, the idea that the tensions are still high supports the wheat market, spills over support into the corn market. You know, last week, everybody was thinking option expiration on this coming Friday would have D's corn around 420. Well, it seems like it's been more magnitude. It's been drawn to the 430 mark. Sure, the 420 puts and calls big open interest. 430s have big open interest as well, just maybe not as big as what we've seen in the 420s. So strong cash markets exist in beans. Strong cash markets exist in corn as well. You can see how the spreads are tightening in corn, spreads are tightening in beans. But so far, strong cash markets haven't been able to help the soybean market, whereas I think it has helped the corn market. Producer selling, it's just not there in either commodity. So, but is the corn market going to give us follow through? Not at this time. You know, when the interim highs were made, just a couple of weeks ago, that's when we were seeing a steady diet of export announcements, daily export announcements on corn. Well, we haven't seen corn export announcements for 4 days now, 5 days. So, bull market needs to be fed every day. So, you know, I think the corn market has the ability to stand in. You know, we've got a pretty decent domestic demand for corn. Once again, we had a good stocks number. We had a good ethanol number, showed a healthy grind. Stocks building a little bit, but still, it's a strong ethanol grind. We're looking for export sales in the morning to be a solid number. So we've got good demand, but so far it really has been unable to get this corn market over the top. So I think that may come later on when we have a better handle on what's happening down in South America. But time will tell. So, but for the time being, put your trading shoes on. It's basically a sideways market. And wheat, okay, as long as the tensions remain high in the Black Sea, wheat prices will stay relatively firm. But will they give us a monumental rally? Not yet. Not yet. Not until you actually see the war increasing. And like I said, the Kremlin would like to hear what Mr. Trump has to say. And soybeans are going to, they'll be lucky if they maintain recent lows. But rally potential, I think, is going to stay limited as long as we don't have any weather threats out of South America.
Thoughts on the grains and oil seeds from Tom Fritz in Chicago at EFG Group. Now the Wednesday settlements, 3 cents up on Dease corn. It goes to 4.30 and a quarter. March 4.40, even a gain of 2 and a quarter. May up a penny and 3 quarters, 4.47. 8 cents down on January soybeans, 9.90 and a half. March 9 and a quarter lower, 9.99 and a quarter. May contract 9 cents down at 10.12 and a half. December wheat up 2 and 3 quarters at 5.52 and a half. Meat markets were mixed. Very quiet in the cattle market. December live cattle 186.30, down 27 cents. Up 97 on the December lean hogs at 80.52. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.